It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
All right, pleasure having Major Downer back with us, coming off a much-deserved vacation. A lot of things to talk about tonight as he wants to focus on deer season, and he wants to know, what is your favorite rifle for deer hunting or your favorite weapon for deer hunting? 888-898-2525. You have a question, comment, observation for the Major as he joins us now with a special guest tonight. Good evening, Major.
Good evening, Phil. Always a pleasure to be back with you tonight. Yes, had a week, a couple days off in Hilton Head last week. Enjoyed that. A little sun, a little cooler weather, good food always. But, yeah, tonight we're going to talk about, for our deer hunters online here and on the air, you may have heard from Steve Tannehill, I understand, but Phil cannot remember what's his favorite rifle. We're talking about calibers, ammunition, basically different what loads are best for deer when it comes to rifles. A lot of talk about that in the last 10 years, and over the last 40 years, people have gone up and down on what is the best load for a deer, what's the best caliber, what rifle is it, 270? Is it the is it, you know, a 30-06? Is it a 308? Is it a 7mm mag? Is it a 708? Is it the 6.5 Creedmoor, which is the newcomer on the block? Is it the 6mm? There's so many different rounds that are out there. But just as we start the show today, here we find ourselves toward the end of October. We've gotten some cooler weather. Obviously, if you've been hunting, you're going to have seen that deer activity has picked up. I know processors are filling up. The ones over here in Sumter County were full. It wouldn't take deer for a couple of days.
Really?
So it's that time of year when it gets cooler like this, cooler nights, deer get active. Bucks are being a lot more frisky, a lot more available to be seen during daylight hours as they're looking for does chasing during the daylight. As the quote-unquote rut begins here in October, November, somewhere usually between October 15th, November 15th, somewhere in there is that traditional time that everyone seems to see the rut happen. To date right now, based on Game Check, looks like we've got around 58,000 deer that have been taken so far. But before we go to the line tonight, real quick, I want to invite, welcome on Charles Ruth, our big game biologist. Charles, thanks for joining the show tonight.
Anytime, buddy.
And we got in a conversation at the office today, and so in a moment I'll let Charles use me as a punching bag, because my story is going to end up being what we talk about. I had a misfortunate deer hunting story with a 6.5 Creedmoor. I was ready to take that gun and throw it in the trash or to the next county or wherever it would go. But we'll talk about that in a minute. But before we do, real quick, let's bring on our caller real quick for a moment.
Yeah.
You had someone online?
Yes, sir. It's Clayton in Barnwell. Wanted to give
you a
quick shout tonight.
Hey, good evening there, Major. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for being on the show. What you got for us?
Well, I was just calling to let you know that I hunt with a Browning 270 Medallion, and I also have an ATN day and nighttime scope, which is absolutely crystal clear, great optics. The rifle is dependable, shoots good and straight, and it drops deer like crazy. So I would recommend the Browning 270 any day of the week.
And that's not a Winchester short mag. That's the traditional 270, right?
That's the traditional 270.
And what load do you use of that 270, if I might ask? That's what we're going to get down to specifics tonight. What actual, what bullet are you using?
I use a Remington with 145 grain.
Okay, so a core lock, basically the old core lock?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, I appreciate that call. I'm going to go back to Charles for a minute. Charles, let's talk about loads for a minute. We got in this conversation today. You've done some extensive studies, actually, on deer loads. Let's do a quick brief overview of that. What did you find in your study overall? Then we'll get to my specific story.
Sure, Billy, and thank you for having me on the show. Yeah, I was fortunate enough in another life 30 plus years ago. I worked in a commercial hunting operation, so I had the opportunity to investigate, so to speak, many hundreds of deer being shot with different calibers, different bullet styles, and so forth. And we had some trained dogs that were first class that you just never lost a deer. And what I can tell you, kind of to cut to the chase, you know, and this is data from over 400 deer that we measured the distance of the deer ran, how much sign was left, blah, 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 just a lot of statistics and so forth. And the overarching take-home message is that for these fairly small southeastern deer, you want a highly expandable bullet, number one. Number two, of the proper weight for the caliber you're shooting. And I'll give you several examples. As far as proper weight for caliber, 30 cal, you want 150s. You don't want 180s. You don't want 200s. You don't want 220s. Those bullets are much heavier. The jackets are thicker. They run through the deer, don't leave a lot of sign. So that's a 30 caliber example. And I know your last caller had a 270. He was having good luck with a 240 something grain. But 270 is tailor made for whitetail deer, 130 grains. All right.
Back yeah, I think to he, the 145 in the green in yeah. the in the traditional. It was a 145. I think he said in traditional Remington Core-Lok, which you and I talked about today. That's sure, that sure. soft lead yeah. bullet.
Correct. But still, on a 270, it's tailor-made for these smaller deer in the southeast, 130 grain. But if he's having good luck, I'm not going to knock it, okay?
Absolutely.
So that's the first thing. You want the appropriate weight bullet for that caliber, okay? On the other end, you want a highly expandable bullet, almost a fractious bullet, a frangible bullet. The example being... I'll give you three old school examples. The first being the federal ballistic tip. The bullet being, which federal is using a Nosler, the original Nosler ballistic tip. That's number one. A Remington bronze point. I don't think they make them anymore. Winchester silver tip. Those were all the original front loaded polymer or otherwise tips that are used as a wedge to drive back into the bullet to cause them to open very quickly and expend the energy. And for these smaller deer we have in the southeast, that's what you're looking for. So, you know, you and I talked today about your situation with that 6.5 Creed, and you mentioned right off the bat that you were using 140 grain. And I was like, you might want to go down a little bit to 130. 120, you're going to have a lighter bullet. You're going to have a lighter jacket content. The bullet's going to want to open up more. And then you said it's an ELDX. Of course, these Hornady bullets are fantastic. The ELD regular is a extreme long distance, or it's made for, you know, you got a match and you got an X. The X is a hunting type bullet. But the point being, ELD stands for extreme long distance or something along those lines. So your bullet is designed to perform from a hunting standpoint at longer ranges. So that's something to really consider. And when I did this research, what fell out statistically, and I'm talking about statistical significance, is these, quote, harder bullets. And I'm talking about controlled expansion bullets, your Barnes X, Grand Slam type bullets, partition tip bullets. Those are controlled expansion bullets. They retain, they don't expand as much. Those are made more for penetration. Your expandable type bullets, like most any of your ballistic tips that don't have something within the bullet that is holding it together as much, that's what you want for these smaller deer in the Southeast, period. And it fell out statistically, and it blew me away. And the reason we got on this was because we, you know, after a couple of thousand deer, we started seeing common denominators. And the two things we saw was, number one, use an appropriate weight bullet for these smaller deer in the Southeast. Number two, an explosive or frangible type bullet. And that's it, Bo. That's where it is.
And let me be clear, make sure folks, when they hear explosive bullet, that doesn't mean it has a charge in it. What he means is a bullet that breaks apart quickly upon impact.
Yeah, a highly expandable bullet, yes.
Right, and so mushroom.
Yeah, the best thing that can happen when you shoot a deer is the bullet goes through, punches the other side skin out, and falls on the ground. In other words, it's used all of what it has in terms of energy, and you've got two holes. And when I was in the hunting business, we had a lot of guys that said, you know, I shoot this 300 mag because you can hit them in the butt and blow their head off. Well, that's not necessarily true. A lot of it's got to do with the bullet construction, the bullet type, and so forth. And, hey, something, Billy, we hadn't talked about. Number one, shot placement. Shot placement.
Absolutely.
And what we found was that if you can let the deer get completely broadside and line your crosshair, your vertical posts up on the deer's front leg and hit the deer in the shoulder blade, the scapula, which is that bone in there that we've all seen when we clean a deer, 9 times out of 10, that deer is going to fall straight down to the ground, almost like a cow laying in a pasture. And what, from a physiological standpoint, what happens is there's a big nerve bundle. If you've ever cleaned a deer and seen these big white strands in the armpit, once you're working into the meat, that's called the brachial plexus, and it's connected directly to the spinal column, spinal cord. So what happens is not only is it a lethal shot because it's a heart-lung shot, but it knocks the deer out, and it never wakes up. And what we found was that the average distance of travel of these animals when you shoot them there, and this is a couple of hundred examples in our data set, was that they average about 2.9 or 3 yards in distance traveled. You know, the traditional behind-the-shoulder long shot, those deer are not going to go far. They're going to go 60, 80 yards. Those should be fairly easy to find. Again, if you're using the right bullet, but if you're zipping a hard bullet through that heart lung area, there's not a lot of sign. These, you know, our habitats down here are pretty rough. These deer get out in dog kennel and briars and so forth, and you can't find a lot of sign. If you don't have a dog, it can lead to trouble. And in most cases, those deer are laying out there dead.
Right. So specifically, I want to recap just real quick. I'll tell my story. Telling myself, I felt like I fell fallen victim to the 6'5 Creedmoor fan club. I got picked on that a lot, but you know, I had a neighbor that had a 6'5 in a Hell's Canyon, or a Browning Hell's Canyon, which is a really nice gun. It's built for shooting long distance accurately. I'm shooting in fields that are 300 to 400 yard shots. You could have those kind of shots. Not that I am up to a 400 yard shot, but certainly would like to be up to a 300 yard shot. Which is not extreme long range, but for me, that's long range. And he would sight in my backyard at my range at the house, and his gun was so accurate. I was so impressed by it. So I went out and bought one. And I said, well, I'm going to get the biggest bullet to put in that gun. Biggest bullet's got to be best. I put it in my gun, got it. It really patterned well. I took that ELDX, so that's good for long distance. And I had no problem last year shooting.
140 grains, Billy. Don't forget. You said 140
it was 143 grains, to be exact.
Okay.
I shot last year, no problems. Did a lot of neck shots last year. This year, my third deer of the year, shooting some does in a field one afternoon, my son sitting and a friend of his, and we were shooting does and doing a management hunt. And I shot, first deer came out. She turned around, another deer came out, and kind of back almost towards some branches where I couldn't see. I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and shoot a doe now, and we'll shoot another one later here tonight. And I shot that doe, clearly hit her. That gun's so nice with the ball system, you can actually see the bullet hit. And she crimped up, jumped a little bit, and then hopped forward. I said, she's dead. 30 minutes later, shot another deer in the neck, no problem. We never found the first deer, never found any blood, never found anything. And I was frustrated. I picked on my son's friend with a 270 that the deer bled and ran 100 and something yards. We had to find it in the woods, but we did find it. I said, you got to get a better bullet. And then we couldn't find mine. And that was embarrassing. So the conversation continued. I was going back to my 708 and we got in the office and some deer hunters talking, biologists. You know, they throw Charles in the mix, and Charles comes in and says, and Charles, I'm going to tell you how I heard it. Big bullet, fast, not good. Too hard a bullet, goes through too fast, doesn't create a big hole, no damage. It goes in and out. The deer dies, but dies 100 or so yards later. Smaller bullet. Smaller bullet, really fast. Small bullet, franges quicker.
Correct.
Because of the speed. Yep. The speed on a smaller bullet will cause that bullet to cause more of a wound channel. Am I correct?
And also, you know, in a given caliber, the smaller, lighter bullets, the jacket constructions are a tad different. They're gonna quote blow up a little quicker, and that's what you want on these deer we got in South Carolina, and really, in all the Southeast. So that's kind of the bottom line.
And the other part of your study was that ballistic tips weren't near as effective as a soft lead point, like a standard Remington. I've heard this before, the Remington Corlox, the old basic bullet, was probably the best bullet to put in any gun.
Yeah, a pointed soft point is good. But really, you know, the old school ballistic tips, and you know, I have to admit, Billy, you know me, I'm an archery hunter, so I've kind of fallen out. There's so many different calibers and all these new bullets now, but the bullets, you know, and there's so many different ballistic tips. You know, they got the polymer tip. That's what I'm talking about is so good.
Right.
You got to look at what they're designed to do. And as soon as you said you were shooting an EF, number one, a 140 grain in a 6.5, and then, or 143, and then the ELD, that got my attention. I was like, dude, just simply try a 130 or 120 or 123 with that type of tip in it, and let's see what happens with that. So I guess, you know, if people are punching deer and they're not leaving a lot of sign, you know, get a different style of bullet, you know, and number one, different style of bullet. Number two, probably a lighter bullet, a little bit lighter bullet for that particular caliber, and see what the performance is on that. But again, shot placement, that's number one.
Absolutely. So, and the cool thing about that correlation of smaller bullet, it provides incredibly. When I started studying this, we started looking at different bullets as we were talking and looking online at the ballistic tables. When you look at it, those smaller 125, 139 in that 6.5 provide more energy, foot pounds of energy, which is the knockdown power, if you will, because of the design of the bullet. Again, different. And that was interesting once you start really diving down into the ballistics. That's interesting to me that a lighter bullet provides more knockdown at short distances, 100, 200 yards, than that big bullet.
Yeah, and to follow
and
up on
that. That just seemed counterproductive to me. I mean, counterintuitive.
No, but, well, what you got there in the short range, you know, less than 500 yards, is you've got velocity, which jacks up it jacks up the energy. Now, if you want to shoot way out, the longer bullets, or the heavier bullets are slightly longer, and they have a higher ballistic coefficient. And I know that's all kind of French to some people, but it's going to, once you get to distance, it's going to retain more velocity and be better performance at long distance. You know, that's just it's physics is what it is. Hello.
Major? Did we lose Major? All right, I'm stepping in for Major for just a moment. Looks like his line might have dropped. So
it says he muted himself.
Major, you have muted yourself.
So if, there he is.
I don't know how I did that, but anyway. So the end of the day, what I see from all of that is looking at the bullet type, ammunition you're using. There's so many different types out there. The soft points, those old style, like even the Federal Fusion, which is lead, just that lead bullet, no ballistic tip on it. Those can be more effective sometimes. The old core lock, I remember when bullets were hard to find 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you could find that Hornady Whitetail, which was the same thing as that core lock. And those actually, if you try them, you may have more success with that smaller lead, but softer lead that creates more damage, more wound channel, if you will, which gives you the blood sign if the deer does run so you can find the deer.
Sure. And again, don't forget the ballistic tip types, but they got to be made for shooting deer, okay? Right. And they need to be the appropriate weight for deer. And like I said, if you're shooting 30 caliber, you want 150 grains. If you're shooting a 270, you want 130 grains. If you're shooting a 25, a 116, 117, those are the smaller bullets for that caliber, and they work very well on deer. So that's kind of end of the story.
So we're going to try, and I'll report back, we're going to try some different bullets before I throw that 6.5 to the trash. I'm not throwing it in the trash, by the way. But we're going to try some smaller bullets and see how effective that rifle might be in a different type of projectile. So I'm trying some things. Yep. I know that Jay Cantrell, your partner in crime, suggested the Winchester, what is that? It's called deer, holy cow, not ballistic silver tip. It's the...
Well, Winchester
deer
silver
season.
Tip. That's all.
A new one called the Deer Season XP.
Yeah.
Which has a large polymer end, which the lead is actually almost like a hollow point, but that big polymer end expands that big point quickly.
That's right. And there was and Nosler has a 120 with a quote Nosler ballistic tip in it. And I'd be curious to see, number one, how well it shoots in your gun. I know those 143s are tack driving, but basically not performing like you want. I'd like to see what that 120 Nosler is going to do on a deer, as well as see how well it shoots in your rifle, because your rifle may not like that lighter bullet. And there's a trade-off between, from an accuracy standpoint, when you start moving around, they're all going to perform, or most of them will perform a little differently. So you've got middle ground between performance on the animal and performance on paper.
Well, Charles, thanks for joining us tonight. Phil, I know we've got a few seconds left, but certainly interesting for folks, I'm sure, to talk about loads, and we can do this again and do more discussion, because I know folks probably listening are like, but I thought, and they got lots of things through their mind. But absolutely,
Billy,
good luck deer hunting out there. Yeah.
Billy, let me say this. People can go to the DNR website, navigate around to the deer page, and I've got that paper in there. It's called Guns, Ammo, and Man's Best Friend, and they can look at the research and so forth.
All right, well, thanks for joining us again. Folks, be safe out there.
Major, thank you very much. Appreciate you guys being with us tonight. Great stuff. Educational. Hope folks were paying attention and learned a lot from it. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. That'll do it. SC Wild on Sports Talk. Talk to you tomorrow night right here, 6:05. See you then.